Or if it's the Evan situation. Also, can this be similar to girls making hamotzi on the zimin for benching? Another question. What are your views? What is Rosh Hashiva's views on women learning Gemara? Okay. 5:30, we'll continue with the next question.
I decided since Rabbi Zinkin actually gave me a head start last evening, I haven't had a chance really to investigate any of the questions before. But on the issue of Talmud Torah for women, I actually have explored the issue any number of times, being that I headed a women's institution for 7 years, MMY, and they teach their Torah Shabbat in a very frontal kind of way. Torah Shabbat means Gemara, as someone described it here. So I want to begin by just referring to a comment from the Mekor Baruch. The Mekor Baruch,
thank you.
The Mekor Baruch is autobiography of the Torah Tzvimba. And the Mekor Baruch, his aunt was the wife of the Netziv, the Netziv being the Oshim and Baloshim. It's a very famous chapter that he has in the Mekor Baruch that's actually been translated into many languages. I think it's the only chapter that somehow people discovered or read in the entire Mekor Baruch, which is several thousand pages. I'm not exaggerating. I actually read the entire Sefer. I read it many, many years ago. I discovered it when I was working in the Brooklyn Public Library. I worked in the Brooklyn Public Library in Grand Army Plaza near Chabad, near 770. And I mentioned already a number of times I received an education. And one of the Svarim I was exposed to was the Mekor Baruch. I read it from cover to cover when I was about 14 years old. And there I discovered a following chapter, which I Xeroxed part of it. I also want to read it to you. He describes his aunt. The Torah Tzvimba was a Bacher in Baloshim. He calls her Avonis Reina Batya. She sat near the stove. They had a winter stove. The Gambi Mea Kayas. She had in front of her a table with many svarim. Tanakh, Mishnayos, Ein Yaakov, Midrashim Shofim, Menorah Savar, Kama Yoshe, Tzemach David, Shevet Yehuda. I'm not going to read the entire list. It's a very lengthy list. Most of the svarim we're not familiar with. V'ol kama svarim, Yimin and Elul, V'sifri Agodah, V'chol Iyuna, V'chol Simat Liba, In Kol Chusheha, V'hagosho Seha, V'toch HaSvarim. V'lo Zoza Yoda, Kibat Mehen. This is the wife of the Netziv. That she did not budge for a moment from these svarim. V'lo pam shamati osa mitonenet umitlonenet. Do evet, ko evet. Rucha sara v'naf shamara al chaval goroman hamar u'menat chelken hatzar shal anoshim v'chayyola. She apparently was rather upset about the role of women within a Jewish perspective. Ki shol v'mehem ki mitzaseh shazman grama. Because women cannot perform mitzaseh shazman grama, the tata, as the Mishnah Kedushin indicates. And even further, beyond that, and the psukim that she was quite familiar with, she seemed to be a baki b'shas. And all the gemaras that she raised with her nephew, who was a bacher learning in Baloshin Yeshiva. Whatever translation of Tiflis, I took literally a course with Dr. Horowitz in YU, Yeshiva University. The entire course consists of 6 months. We defined the term Tiflis. I'm not exaggerating. He quoted from Rishonim and Achronim this way, that way. One thing we know, it's not a good thing. Whatever it means. Ki'ilu limda Tiflis. And a Yerushalmi and Tzaita quoted by Tesis. Better than the words of Torah should be burnt, better than be studied by women. That's quite a strong statement, I think you would agree. She was familiar with all the Mamori Chazal, the aunt of the Torah, Tanima, the wife, the Rebetzin of the Netziv. Okay, so just in terms of dealing with the issue, as I said, this could be, as you indicated, until 7:30. We'll try the shorter version. We'll begin with the Rambam, which is quoted by the Mechavim Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Gimel. Isha shalom the Torah, a woman studies Torah, yesh lo star. Avalenu kischavar ish. It's not the same as that of a male counterpart. Neshalom in stavis. A woman studies Torah, she's exempt, as we mentioned, but she receives a schar. The Abba b'sheyesh lo schar, tzivu chachamim, and here you have to read the Rambam very carefully. Tzivu chachamim shulo yilamid odom es bito Torah. So the very technical definition of what exactly is osur, a father should not teach his daughter Torah, referring to Torah Shebaal Peh. Why? B'nei sherov hanoshim ein daitam b'chuvenes l'hislamid. Most women, they're not able to, I'll translate it the way, Islamic. So he understands this, Rabbi Meiselman, that since women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so therefore, they're not going to focus on it the way one has to focus on it, in order to understand it properly. Torah Shebaal Peh requires enormous devotion and concentration, otherwise one will not be able to plumb the depths of Torah Shebaal Peh in a proper way. And therefore, Rav Hanashim, they don't have that kind of focus. Ella, hey motziel divrei Torah divrei havai l'fi anius daita. The truth is, no distinction here between men and women. Even a man who does not focus properly and learn bi'iyun as he should, and learn to plumb the depths of the sugya, and ultimately come to the sugya shmeitzah libid hilchasa, the same issue will obviously exist vis-a-vis the man as well. But since women are potter, are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so they're less likely to go ahead and devote themselves properly to the mitzvah. So there are a number of very significant diyukim in the Rambam. One is that the Isser devolves upon the father teaching his daughter Torah. But if we're talking about, let's say, someone else teaching women Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh, there's no Isser. Number two is that the Rambam says, Rov Noshim. This is already a famous diyuk of the Prisha. The Prisha to Daik in the Rambam. Most women ain't Daik to Mechubenes l'Islami. But there are obviously a group of women that they are capable, they devote themselves to learning Torah in the proper kind of way, Torah Shebaal Peh that is. And therefore there's room for women who are studying Torah Shebaal Peh, according to the Rambam, without a suffix. And the Rambam quotes further, just to define more specifically what the mitzvah is. As we mentioned a moment ago, the Mishnah in Saito. The Rambam tells you, I've been talking about the oral law. Lo yilamin osa lechatzilo. Torah shebichsav should not be taught to a woman ab initio lechatzilo. V'ilamna ainu kemalam natiflos. She learns Torah shebichsav, that's not considered to be a violation of this mission in Soto of tiflos. So the Rambam has more or less defined the parameters of women and Torah Shebaal Peh. As I said, again, one has to be extremely careful. The Isser exists vis-a-vis a father teaching his daughter Torah. Number two, it applies to Rov Nashim according to the Rambam. A Miyah clearly is able to engage in the study of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's more or less the presentation of the Rambam. Now, there are other statements that I found. They mentioned a number of them. I'm not going to be exhaustive or comprehensive. There's a comment, the Gemara in Chagiga, that's well known to us. Rashi quotes in the Chumash in the context of the mitzvah of Hakel. Hakel is a mitzvah that takes place with Motzoi Shemitah Chagasukas. And then the Torah says, Hakel asa'om ha'anoshim ba'anoshim ba'ataf. And the Gemara says, beginning Chagiga, that if men come to learn, what do women come for? They come lishmoa. And taf, lama boim, machlokes of Rishonim, what taf is? But whether the taf is Yom Kishadayim, or whether the taf is children who are already reached an age where they're more educable, the Gemara says that the Delite Sadam may be able. The taf comes in order to give the star to those who bring them. So here we have a statement that men come to learn and women come to lishmoa. The Gemara says that pretty clearly. So, in terms of bringing things down, halacha l'maaseh, I xerox actually a number of different poskim and the like who talk about the issue. Maybe I'll just start a little bit from the Rishonim and then just go down to some of the achronim. The Sefer Chasidim, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes, Chayav Adam, Lilmod, Libnosa, Vimiz Olamed, one is obligated to teach his daughters, Hamitzis, Gnopiski Alochas. What is the Tiflis referring to? Let's define that as pilpul. So a woman is not obligated in pilpul. This is a very famous Beis HaLevi as an essay. This is often quoted. Beis HaLevi says there are two aspects of Talmud Torah. One is Talmud Torah as a means to an end. One is Talmud Torah as an end in itself. Women are only chayav in Talmud Torah as a means to an end. We pass the halacha. Noshim mevarach b'birchas haTorah. That's a mechaber mem zayin. And the reason why, there are several reasons given by the The Farshim, one is because a woman is mechuyev to learn the halachas that are relevant to her, and there are, rest be assured, many, many halachas that are relevant to women, good parts of Torah, significant segments of Torah relevant to women, definitely can make bechas haTorah. And the other time is because a woman is chayav in kavan tamid. So that's why they make bechas haTorah. But here, the Sefer Hasidim seems to be more or less articulating the same idea of the Beis HaLevi, that a woman is only mechuyev in Talmud Torah as a means to an end, want to know what to do, halacha l'maisa. Mashenka, the pupil of Talmud Torah as an end in itself, they're not obligated in. And he writes, that's what the Gemara says, Gilu Malam Latiflos, also named Malamnin Leisha Vantanim, Abba Hilchas Mitzvahs Yolamidlo, she will obtain the Hilchas Shabbos, Hechdishmo Shabbos. She doesn't know Hilchas Shabbos, how could she observe Shabbos? A woman has to know Hilchas Shabbos Aburya. The Chen Kol Mitzvahs, Gedei Lassos, deserve a Mitzvahs. Sharei Bimei Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, the Gemara Sanhedrin. Anoshim Anoshim Dolem Tanim Yodu Afilu Taras Vekotshim. So you see from that Gemara, that there's a basis, the Gemara says that they went around and searched, V'lo Motzu Ishri Isha, didn't find a man or woman Shalei Bekir, Yiluchas Tuma Betar. He speaks of Taras and Kotshim, the Sefer Chassid, Rabbi Lachosid. So there's obviously a basis. Where does he see this? He quotes the Pasuk of Hakel. Hakel Asa'am, Anoshim, Anoshim Atam. Clearly, the Beis HaLevi is of the opinion that they are not going to learn areas of Tumah and Tara b'zmanenu, because that is Torah's end in itself. That's not to me that he brings the Jemen
women.
That
Gemara took place when
Tumah
and Tara
mattered
to them?
Yeah. That's exactly the Beis HaLevi's maskot. That b'zmanenu ono, where we don't have the genome of Tumah and Tara, they're not relevant. And also, we're talking about we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, in terms of Kotshim. So, a woman is not mechuyev to learn Zochim, or should not be involved in the every risk of and zvachim that she has to know, that's not necessary. And that is, according to Sefer Hasidim, even problematic. He calls it tiflus. Beis HaLevi, that's what he spells out, that is manenu, the nafkivinu to men and women, is that women are mechuyev to learn that which is nogiyah to halacha l'maaseh. But let me just now read a tshuva of the Marshal, also discussing this issue, a famous tshuva. It's in the Kuf Tzadik Tes. I just xeroxed one small part of it. The imishum, the yedu, the kaim ha-mitzis, after she yilmudu al pi akabola, hasharoshim ha-klolos, uchshe yistafu, yishalu l'more, if it's a question of knowing what to do, and how to behave, and how to comport, how to conduct themselves, they can learn, as he writes, al pi akabola, the sharoshim, the klolim, if they have a subject, they can ask the shayla barov, kashe onoro midoreno, shebikiyo sarbe, bedine melicha, vahadocha, benikor, vilchaz nidra chayotzi bazeh. They're bekiyah, they know the laws of melicha. When I was in Rabbi Soloveitchik Shia, so we learned actually the Maaseh Rashi, which is a Tesis Nechulin, that deals with Malichas. Essentially all Malichas found in that Tesis. So then they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, but how does one do Malicha? So the Rav responded, and only he could respond. Are you familiar, he said, with the diamond crystal salt? On the side of the salt, of the diamond crystal, there are directions how to do the salting process. You'll be looked down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you'll be know what to do. The Rav was more interested in the longest Malicha as opposed to the Halakha L'maisa Malicha. So he says, the Marshal, that they are Bekiyah B'dina Malicha B'adacha B'nikur Nikur, they're familiar with. You won't find any man who knows Nikur, who knows how to flavor. V'ilchas Nidur B'chayetzi B'zeh. However, how do they know it? Hakol Al Pi HaKabbalah B'chutz. They know it not from learning the sources inside, but it's Al Pi HaKabbalah, things that they, shall we say, even, shall we say, within the walls of their home, they absorbed a lot of this. But it's clear, the Ramah writes in Yerodeya, I think it's a clear Ramah in Reshma Vav, I'm not mistaken, a woman is mechuyev to learn the halachas that are relevant to her, that's for sure. That's Ramah Shutim. So you'll ask, what's relevant to a woman? Well, just think about it. Before you know it, Rav Soloveitchik wants to discuss this also. He said, Cheshe Mishpat? Of course she has to know Cheshe Mishpat. Woman gets into a car accident, God forbid, in Yoni Rivers, she takes out a loan. Obviously, she has to be familiar with the Yoni Rivers. So that takes care of Hashem Ishba. Ebenezer is all relevant to women. What's Ebenezer? Yerodea? Who's in the kitchen? Of course, she has to know Yerodea. No, the only area she doesn't have to know is what? Orachayim. No, women, Ashkenazic women, on calling upon themselves, Nitzaseh Shazman Grama, Ibu the Brocha, against the position of the Rambam. This is the position of Bali Atesim, Machokos Mechabri Allah. Okay, Rabban Badger, Sheyarach Yamba, Maran, God forbid a Tzadik woman should make a Brocha, Oy Bavoy. The world will collapse. Whatever the case is, certainly women who are Ashkenazi can fulfill the Tzaseh Shavah Grama also have to be familiar with the basics. So it comes out, you have to know, Dalchan Shavah Noach, that's how Soloveitchik saw it. But it's clear in Shemalach that Rambam says women are mechuyev to learn the halachas that are relevant to them. So now I read Rav Shem Shapol Hirsch. I'm not such a mumche Rav Shem Shapol Hirsch. Chaval, not a mumche in a lot of things. And because of Rabbi Weinberg Shlita, actually, I even started looking at some other kinds of svarim, which I never really looked at before. So that's his hashpah. He had a bit of hashpah, which is not a bad thing. So Rav Shem Shapol Hirsch, he writes the following. I saw this in his siddur. In the parish of the Sinner of Shem Shapol Hirsch that I did learn, Nashim Einan Chayavas Lios Lamdamios. Lamdamios to be Lamdami. Lios Bekios Bevidushe Alocha Ki Bezei Yasku Beikra Ha'an Nashim. That's the male enterprise. Ulam Havanas HaMikra Vosa Yediyah Hadrusha Liyaras Hashem HaMeviya Lishmias HaMitzas Gavdonis L'Kiyumayim HaSholein Yishayeches L'Itzu Varuach V'Halev Shal Benoseinu Bidiyu Kimo Shal Abadim. Very striking statement. Very significant statement. And I'm going to be great Lamdami. However, to understand Tanakh, understand Chumash, Tanakh, and the idea that's necessary for Yiras Hashem, because that's what one gets from learning Tanakh. That's another area that needs a lot of discussion, how to learn Tanakh, and different approaches to Tanakh. And there's a lot of, especially in Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of interest in academic approaches to Tanakh. Even elsewhere, in the Chutzlar, it's here and there, where they they're involved a bit in Tanakh. So often it can be very academic, very literary, and very, shall we say, looking at syntax and structure, which is certainly important, no question about it. I'm not poo-pooing it, but ultimately, from Tanakh, what has to come? Yiras Hashem. So he writes, Rav Shem Shapol Hirsch, that that which one could acquire by learning Tanakh, and in effect, because of that, when one has Yiras Hashem, it will bring one to Shmiras HaMitzvos, and to be Mekayim Mitzvos, Kil Chasan, Kihiduran, that is very relevant to women. I went to Rav Shechta Shlita, Rav Goyna Rav Shechta. Rav Shechta, many, many years ago, had a number of, what do you call it, dialogues. One dialogue I was present at was written by Rav Pani Shlita. Shashem Yarech Yamav. What a dialogue. And what should be the approach to learning Gemara? It's not our topic right now. I only mention it because Rav Shechta at one point said he thinks that what would be the optimal situation if we take the chinuch that women receive and give it to men? He thinks that would be ideal. So they asked him, what does that mean? He said, what do women do? Women study Tanakh well, which is very true. Most women seminaries certainly study Tanakh very carefully. So that's something that men generally do not do. Women learn halacha, they know Hilchos Shabbos. Women are familiar with Hilchos Shabbos. I know many, many women who have a very practical knowledge of Hilchos Shabbos, far better than their husbands or male counterparts. So he thinks that we should take the education, give it to women, give it to men. That's what Rabbi Sefner suggested. I don't think that's the case, that in terms of the reality, but this is Rav Shem Shapol Hirsch. So far we've seen a sampling. I just want to mention one or two more things. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal is a famous Truba Nigus Meshe. He was asked about women learning Mishnayis. And he writes, Mishnayis, Shem Tor Shem Apeh, Tzimu Chacham Shalom Yolamdu. They should be taught Mishnayis. Ukiilu melam tiflus. V'lachein tzarech levodim mizeh. What Mishnayis did they learn? Pirkei Avos. V'shum shuvanyani musa v'hanagas tovas v'yashamayim. V'yashalam dem behezber. La'oram v'avas ha'teichu v'midas tevas ha'velo sh'ar masechtes. In my shul, I know the rabbi. I go to many smachot in my shul. And we have seen the following. We have bat mitzvahs of some very, very bright women. One Messiah, she shows in the Mishnah. Kodshim, Taris, Zroyim, Amoye, Lashim. It has actually become the miyot, the minority that is learning the Gilas Vus and the Chavish Megillus and things of that sort. And these are some very, very bright young women that I've seen. Again, I'm exposed to because I daven in a certain shul and I know the rabbi, and that's what they do. They don't necessarily consult the rabbi, as far as I understand, but they do what they do. And the truth of the matter is that it's just a very fascinating thing, and maybe I'll have some comments about that a little bit after. I shall. But Rav Moshe is pretty limiting in terms of his position regarding this matter. I just want to mention, as I said, one or two other things, and this is also not so well known, but it's pretty famous among those who are familiar. Rav Zalman Sorotsky, Zatzal, was a great, really the forerunner of the Sorotskins from Telz, and he has a number one parish al-Torah called Muzayim I'll tell you about a beautiful, beautiful parish, really, which is not so well known. I think someone told me they translated into English. I don't know if that's true or not. But he also has Shelton Chuba said he wrote Bazayim Lamishpat. And he has the following comment, which is astounding. And he there speaks about Achab Kiras Avi Merizal, after his father passed away. So he's talking about his mother. There were 17 years, he writes, Sheyoshua B'tanesim Mideyom B'yom. She was literally fasting, almost on a daily basis. His mother comes from the family of great tzaddikim, great gedolim. The chol yomer him b'mei achorei him b'mei akayitz on the tomb of his visas called the orayom kama shows. We have basically smelled the kavanah gedolim with tefillos tachnun v'amakom. She was davening with tremendous fervor, tremendous passion. Ubiyada matech ez asanoshim shaisa rishonim mitvay besakneses v'achrona. She was the first one into shul, the last one out of shul. That's of course what we should be. We means we men folk. And here she's the first one in and the last one out. And the last one out, hours after the last person already left. And she was busy davening and what have you. Vachar tefillah, lo sam nafshu l'shum dvar batola, rak mechay lo choyel, lo sekes batora, kol pashas ha-shavua, pirush Rashi shah mefarshim. First she went through Rashi, all the mefarshim on the pasha of the week. Ki yadua, l'chol tamid avi mevizam, l'chol shulchano. She tamid goes away by Rav Sarotskin's father, that's all. She was involved in the discussion that took place at the table with Divrei Torah. By the way, I mistakenly told you the wrong thing. This is not Dabba to the Drisha. That's what I meant to say. Dabba to the Drisha and you're there. Just want to correct the source for this. And I'm going to quote the Mazayim Mishpah in a second. I confused the two. This has come from the Dabba of the Drisha to Yerodea. So he talks about his mother. She was a Meyucha. Isha Meyuchet Femina. She was one of the Balei Ayro. In Ilchus Nida. That's how he describes her. Rab Sarovsky, let me read now the section. I'm sorry, I confused the two. I didn't write it down, that's what happens. Rab Sarovsky actually has the following. B'chinuch habonos, b'ruach ha-Torah, y'dilimu la-Torah, ma'ore dagu, pachad, b'lei t'mimin, rab nechidusho, why people getting upset, getting bent out of shape when women are involved in the study of Torah, because it's something novel, something new. Shalaroos ha-Voseim, no one can. We didn't see our forebears. Even though there are only three bears. But we didn't see our forebears involved in this kind of behavior. Our lokiyam marishonim hayam machonim. The days have changed. We're now living in the same era. Kayam marishonim hisnagu bat yisrael api ha-shoronach. Esher hayolam lilma niskol ha-terem mea nisoyam. They could be in, shall we say, in the shadow of their parents and somehow absorb kol ha-terem kula. U'meru la yitzorach lam is benos yisrael bin ha-sefer. There's no need to teach them book knowledge. There was no need for that kind of book knowledge. My grandmother living in Portland, Maine. I don't know if anybody here ever heard of. There's a city called Portland. There's a state called Maine. Here we have people from the. No one's from the hinterlands over here. Maybe one or two. Most people here come from Chicago, New York, and they think there are no other Jews living anywhere else except for Chicago, New York, and maybe California. And there's a state called Maine. And I grew up actually when I was a little kid. I used to go there every summer. My grandmother's from Vilna. And my grandmother literally had a cow. That's a southern expression. But she owned the cow, and she spoke Yiddish to the cow. But the key in Yiddish, that's how she spoke to the cow. I know Yiddish quite well. I grew up on it. I'm Bela Hashem also, spoke Yiddish. And why did she have a cow? What in heaven's name is she? You need a cow in Portland, Maine for? In Portland, Maine is a city. It's not a shtetl, and it's not a kfar, it's a city. A real city. Why? Because she was Makban Achol Yisrael. Who did he employ? Who was Makban Achol Yisrael, Rabbi Fuchs, 60 years ago? 50 years ago? 40 years ago? In Portland, Maine? By the way, she was the only one who helped Achol Yisrael, clearly, the entire state of Portland. Why do I say that? What did I remember my grandmother? I was 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. I liked the Dish World, not the Lake Sebago. But only when nobody was there, but my grandmother was Makbet, has to be a separate beach, all kinds of, that's what I remember, as a little kid. My grandfather didn't know, passed away before I was born, and she was Makbet Kalakabachamura. I remember there was a massive snowstorm, there was a barbershop downstairs, she lived in a house, one of these old ramshackle kind of houses. Wow, what a sakana, the whole house was one big sakana. But whatever the case is, with these stairs and these windings going up there, narrow, mind-boggling. But I remember we still loved it. We still run up and down the stairs, and every time, it's all she said to us was every 5 minutes, chipping it. You know, stop bothering, stop doing crazy things, and what have you. Anyway, it was very exciting. So the my grandmother, there was a barbershop that she rented out to a fellow at a barbershop. And I remember one night, trying to recall whether my mother's there, I think my mother was there, Alei HaShalom, and I think I was there. And my grandmother was there. And it was a massive snowstorm. I'm not joking. It must have been 2 feet of snow. It was below zero, freezing beyond belief. And this barber couldn't go home, so he wanted to stay in my grandmother's house. It was not even a havamina. Yichud! Well, what's there, Shiloh? So I was wondering, I said, did my grandmother, where did she learn all these halachas from? She'd never learned anything. Now, she never went, not to a day did she go to cheder. But she absorbed it from her, from the walls, shall we say, of her parents' home. And that's what the Rav Sorotzkin is talking about. And now he writes, no one grows up in such an environment. And he's talking, how many years ago did he write this? 50 years ago. Compared to a non-Jew who's coming to what? To convert, to make point. He's 1,000% right. Shimon HaKoreach, we have to teach our Torah. Kidei Shetetas Adach, Shetelech Bar, Mishamasa Shetasa, Kidei Shetiyen Yehudis. So she should be a Jewish woman. So how in heaven can we not teach our Torah? So now we go from there to the famous Chafetz Chaim ben Soita. We could be Allah, Chafetz Chaim ben Soita. He comments on this as well. He said that when did Chazal speak about not teaching women Torah? Bizmanim Shel Faneinu. People grew up with their parents and grandparents. Everyone knew how to behave. The famous joke of that person. The joke is what I heard when I was a little kid. The rabbi of my shuls, the rabbi used to say with this joke that at one time you could actually ask your father, you ask your grandfather. He tells you, but today, what's the matzah? Shalavicha. You ask your father, what's the din? What do I do? Skeinacha, go to the Zeda, go to the grandfather of Yom Ruach. I don't have a clue. Anyway, that's not the Pashim Shah, but whatever the case is. So he writes, so then at one time, there was no problem, because everyone had strong traditions, everyone had, my mother, Hashem, never learned, not even one day, in the Beit Sefer. Zero. No Jewish education whatsoever. My mother was medaktik in halacha, lo yom ki yisubah. She had chumris, I got chumris, and when I got older, I couldn't understand where in heaven's name all these chumris are coming from. And little by little, I began to understand that these chumris she absorbed from her mother and grandparents, etc., that were involved, and that's how they grew up. And so it says, the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal, he writes, exactly similar to Rav Sorotzkin. The situation today is nowhere near what it was. People, guess what? We even know how to write, and we also have taken courses in other languages. So what is he ready to permit a woman to learn? Chumash, Musori Chazal, Maseches Avos, Sefer Menorah Samor. That Sefer I'm very familiar with. I grew up on it. My father was showing me to read it. Used to read the Sefer in our house, Menorah Samor. Every Matzah Shabbos, we read Igeres Rabban. And during the week, we read Menorah Samor. It's actually was sometimes bedtime reading. Menorah Samor is good bedtime reading. So we used to read Menorah Samor. What? That also. What's the zero? My father actually used to read to us Shakespeare. I became a fucking Shakespeare at a very young man. My father loved Shakespeare. He was absolutely... My father was very into literature, an appreciation of literature, tremendous appreciation. Anyway, back here. So he says, in order, why are we learning with the women, Chumash, Nevi'im, Zulid, Musa, Masach, Savas, Nara, Samar, Kedishi, Savas, Eslam, Inyan, and Mulasein, Rakhdosh, to strengthen their Muna? Because otherwise, Chas V'Shalom, they will completely go off the Derech, V'Yavra, Kod Yisrael, Yadas, Chas V'Shalom. So we see here a... clearly, a shift, a change. We're living in a different door. I'll even mention a comment of Chaim David Alevi, Zatzal, who was a rabbi here in Tel Aviv. I actually was zochet to meet him a number of times in the 70s. He has a very famous Sidra Svarim called Aseh L'Chavah. So in one of them, I call the following. Nireh Shebizbanim HaRishonim Kasher Haisa Isha Keres Habayis Greda Habanus Alom Nikol Ikram. When a woman was primarily a homemaker on the domestic front, and women did not really learn Hayakayim Shash Shelimun Atar Shekula Chachma Tigru Ulai Nezeg L'Osem Noshim Shoyim Ruchakas Nikol Chachma Acheres. Since women were not highly educated, so the fear was that if they were to be exposed to study of Torah, perhaps it might have some negative consequences. Women are getting doctorates. Women are receiving the most sophisticated of education in the secular realm. Lama Yigoro Dibre Torah, says of Chaim David Alevi, why should they not be exposed to Dibre Torah? I want to read something else. Another favorite sefer in my father's Litany of Svarim, Pele Yoetz. We read the entire Pele Yoetz in my house as kids. And so I remember when the Pele Yoetz, I don't know if you're familiar with the sefer, but it was a papu. What a mind-boggling, passion mind-boggling. Yeah, you must learn that sefer. You have to, I maintain just the, what should I tell you? Take off 2 months and just sit and learn the sefer. Clearly, I don't know the exact date. Honestly, I imagine at least 150 years ago, maybe more than that. Am I familiar? He was a Sephardi, but the Sefer Zemach is an absolute mine. I'm telling you, what you can mine from that Sefer, it is Oishim. Anyway, why am I telling you this? Under the Erech Bas, the following comment. I'll never forget it. My father used to learn all this Svarim with my mother, Aleh Shalom. Used to learn it all together. He came to this, and my mother had apoplexy. I read the following line. I remember it, that's why I... Yeshnus gadol b'ktsas burim. What a language. With some people who are unlettered, who are, shall we say, coarse, who are boorish. To me, the word boor is related to boorish. That's an English term. Minyan, you can look it up. If a woman gives birth to a male child, they love the child. They are mechabit the child. Keep your distance. She's abandoned. What is with these people? Says the Pele Yoetz. Hello, Efshar. Debanter nadif on anybody. Could be that women are far better than men. What a correct statement. I get such a kick out of this, I had to say this line. I just could control myself. Anyway, more or less, you see there's been a major shift. And now I want to talk. I really skipped. I'm not being fair, Bichlal. I have a lot of material on this topic, which I've explored the last 45 years, but whatever the case is, I want to now read two comments. I read by Moshe Feinstein's himself a moment ago. So now I'll read, just in the interest of fairness, about Lichtenstein. The brother of Chaim Aruch. I was offered to be a Talmud of Avraham Lichtenstein in 1968-69. And he writes the following. And he has a number of articles on this topic. I'm just reading part of it. Lidati Ratzui b'tzarich, lo rak efshar, latev chinuch intensivi lebanot gam mikavod Torah Shebaal Peh. His contention is that women should be exposed to Torah Shebaal Peh in an intensive way. Beinim mishum hatana shenoshim oska b'chol ha-mitzvah, women are getting PhDs in theoretical physics. Madu yigara chalkim dafka l'gavi ha-Torah. Why should their lot be worsened regarding Torah? Ubeinim mishum ha-chavitzchai, quotes the Chavetz Chaim of Lichtenstein. Shim Rambam Omer, Shetzorach Lelamei Leger at Igre Adat, Adam Shegodah Mimiskeret Yehudah, Adam Shegodah Mimiskeret. If you have to teach a Ger the fundamentals of our faith, that's the Raisin Nevomis, and it's quoted by the Mechabim Shemalach, by the Rambam, look at the Surah Bia, so certainly a person who grew up in a Jewish framework, Kabbal Chomer. Habonu Kayom Mekablov Chinuk Kolol Yirachav. Virabot Mehem Magil the Universita. Many women achieve university level education and more. Below Maksham, the Chebra Bichlau, Bod Min Maga, Imashkofo, the Tfisas Olam Shonos. They come into contact with all types of Weltschauens, all types of perspectives on the world, correct? And many of them, unfortunately, are very secular, very inimical to our Hashkafa. And therefore, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says that there's no way, Lechora, how could they combat that without a very intense and intensive knowledge of Torah? He writes, I need a kabbal behechlet, the tfisas of Beis HaLevi. I accept the position of the Beis HaLevi, says Rav Lichtenstein, shall the isha yistart b'tamu Torah, kidei shemukhina ma'asi, teida ma'laso, v'dati, ma'ashidarush l'bat, kidei lekabel ta ha'shara, Torah nita ma'asi, zeh harvei me'ever, l'mashim l'amnim ayom. יש לה אגביר תלימוד הבנות, כמותית ואיכותית, תוך כדי הוראת כל תחומי התורה. ובכל זאת עדיין לא נחרוג מהמסגרת. Whatever that means. Then he writes, אין לו שום התנגדות ללמד בנות גמרא. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein himself, his own children, his two daughters, who are grandchildren of Rav Soloveitchik, learned Torah Shabbat Peh intensively. Both of them, actually two of his daughters, are involved in women's seminaries that are very well known here in Eretz Yisrael. Ani gam lo meshuchna, I'm going to talk about this also, I hope before 7:30. I'm also not convinced that Rav Lichtenstein shiratzui bilchotz al bat dilma dimara b'tzua kol kach intensive. I don't think you should impose this upon them. When I was in MMY, so there was the option of women being exposed to Torah Shabbat Peh at two different levels, at a basic level, just simply reading the text, which, as you know, does have some difficulty attached to it. And then the more intensive kind of level. The two levels, however, I personally felt that if it's being done, it should be done in the following miskeret. We should teach those areas that are relevant to women. Halakha l'maisa. And they can learn the Torah Shabbat Peh, but it has to be not in areas which were relevant to them. So I limited the limud to three or four different areas. But I'm not getting into the details of that right now. I discussed it with a number of Gdol Yisrael. But I did not impose it upon the entire population of the school. So it turned out that, let's say about 20%, or maybe 15 to 20% were interested in that limud, and those ones who pursued it, and the rest were not really interested and didn't pursue it. I didn't feel that institutionally, it's something that the institution should impose upon every young woman. That's what Aaron writes here as well. He writes, however, בהלכה בכל זאת יש הבדל בין מקום האיש ומקום האישה, ובסופו של דבר התפקיד בחיים שונה. They have different roles. That's a very significant statement that Rav Lichtenstein is making. A woman's role and a man's role, they're not the same. And we know that not only physiologically, biologically, Hashem created them differently, but emotionally, they're also markedly different one from the other. And there was a reason why Hashem created women as he did and men as he did, no question about it. And therefore, those are very significant. And furthermore, the Lichtenstein is alluding to over here that women have a very significant, perhaps the most significant preeminent role of women is having children and raising children, which, trust me, is a something which is a 24/7 situation. Don't think otherwise. Men don't really have a clue, I include myself in that, what that's all about. But ultimately, there's no one like a mother. And there's no incomparable to what a mother can give to a child. A mother has pechas that are mind-boggling. Women, those who are shomrei Torah mitzvahs, and those who are yirei mishleimim, have, and the others as well, but I'm talking about women who are shomrei Torah mitzvahs and have an unbelievable emunah. The yashamayim is impeccable. And what they can do, chazal, when they say beis hazanishna, they do what they're talking about, trust me. The only reason why I know it more than you do is I'm older than you. And that's why I know it in the course of decades, and I've seen it in my own family, and I've seen it in many other families, and as a rabbi, I'm also quite familiar with it, and what a woman can do in a home, no man could possibly come near her kasulayim, her toenails, in creating a certain kind of atmosphere. The rabbi is a very famous hesped that he said to the Talmud, the rabbi said, I was there for that hesped. That's a hesped that's kedai to not just read, but chazan many, many times, where he speaks about the fact that even though his father taught him how to learn, but ultimately, who taught him what Shabbos is and what Emunah is? That was his mother. And that's what he writes about the Talmud of Rebbe in a very beautiful kind of way. Anyway, at the end, I'm skipping a lot of this, and he writes, "Kach ani melamed es biti, v'kach chuncha ishti." I teach my daughters, and that's on my wife, Rabbanit Dr. Talmud Lichtenstein, Bito Shlagon Rabbi Yisrael Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal. So it's clear the position that Alutzin has staked out regarding this matter. Now I want to read a tshuva of Rav Ozna. Rav Ozna is in Bnei Brak. I don't know if you ever heard of Rav Ozna. Echon Bigdolei Ador and Shum Sofek. Rav Ozna is a Talmud of Yeshiva Chachmi Lublin. And he is Liyan Hara. I think he must be, I'm sure, close to 100, if not over, Shashem Yarech Yomo. He writes the following. Chuna Ta'isha is in Shevet Alei. Has a very fascinating Chuvas Rav Ozna. It's certainly one of the Dolei Ador, no question about it. Tchuna Sa'isha, the nature of a woman, she'inenu yicholo v'hasig l'hovin ha'nukudu ha'amita shabat Torah. They're not able to plummet the depths of Torah, Tukha Torah Shabbat Peh. V'lachay means their nature. What does he mean? He doesn't really spell it out. But perhaps one could suggest that his thinking is along the following line. Chazal say, noshim rakshani otem. Women are emotional. And there's no question that their emotional component is probably, in many, many respects, far more sophisticated than that of their male counterparts. And perhaps that could interfere with an ability to learn Torah Shabbat Peh. Again, he doesn't spell it out, so it's hard to know what he has in mind. So he writes, L'chein yemotzias divrei Torah l'havoleim, referring to the Rambam, Ein kol hetter lilmod m'abonos tanachim m'forshim m'abukim. Can't learn Tanakh with the Farshim. He does not permit. Ella, Shuteho in Yonim. In Musari Chazal, or Halachas Pesukas. You can learn with them this simple text with some Musar, a Chazal, which will lead to Yashamayim. Viadati, Sherob Bati Hasem Lebanon, Bedareno, Enom Dibazet. That's the understatement of the year. Most of these schools, he's talking about schools in Eretz Israel, for women. Do you know what the Beis Yaakov movement today is involved in? I'm quite familiar with it. What their curriculum consists of? So, my wife Shlita, who is a graduate of the Yaakov of Williamsburg. My wife went to the Yaakov of Williamsburg. The only thing is that in those days, they all went to college after the Yaakov of Williamsburg. So they were exposed to the following people. Who taught them? My main rabbi was Rabbi Victor Miller, Zephathai Lidwell. My wife's a Talmud of Rabbi Victor Miller. She loves Rabbi Victor Miller. Anybody ever heard of Rabbi Victor Miller? He has actually books in English that I have a brother in Chadera. He's a Rabbi Kolin. He's in love with Rabbi Victor Miller. I think he heard every single tape that Rabbi Victor Miller ever gave out. Thousands of tapes, thousands. He used to say shurim all over New York City. Approximately, I would say, between 50 and 100 shurim a week. I'm not exaggerating. He said shurim at 15 mesechtes at a time. He was a goy nadir. I was lucky to hear him any number of times. As a little kid, my father also was a big chassid of Rabbi Victor Miller. Anyway, he was one of the rabbeim of my wife, Rabbi Victor Miller, for 4 years in Beis Yaakov of Williamsburg, in high school. And then she had a few others. I can mention some of the names. Daily Eilam taught in this Beis Yaakov of Williamsburg. Amazing that they were zeicha to what I was zeicha to. So I asked my wife, how did they learn halacha? They learned halacha the following way. Mutar, Asar, Patar, Chaya, Mutar, Asar, Patar, Chaya, Mutar, Asar, Patar, Chaya. That's called Hilchos Shabbos. Borer, this is Borer. This is not Borer. This is Borer. Not Borer. This is Borer. This is Tochen. This is not Tochen. My wife told me. She didn't have a clue what's going on. There was no attempt to try to come to deal with, shall we say, the underlying elements. How do we teach today in Beis Yaakov movement? I don't know here. Rabbi Reichman, I think he's here. No, somewhere. Can't see. I don't have my glasses. Depends which Beis Yaakov. Yesh v'yesh. There are all kinds of Beis Yaakovs today. Trust me, they no longer teach Potter, Mutter, Osser, no such thing. Non-existent. They wouldn't be able to do that. If they did that, the results would be a horrible sign catastrophic. So they teach with Tachon. They teach exactly the nature of Borer, what's all about, what the nature of the block is, they define it more precisely. They obviously provide different scenarios. I'm not saying they're going into the pilpul of Borer, or the pilpul of Teichen, or the pilpul of all the other rabbis of Shabbos, but obviously things have changed. But Rav Ozna is taking a very, very Sharmani kind of attack. And he writes to Kfar Amarti, he says that what they are doing in most Bate Sefer, Mafriz Malamida, Neged Halacha. They are not acting properly, says Rav Ozna. One of the most famous machanim in Eretz Yisrael, in Bnei Brak, ki atari hi nitzmes, vi imamru ki malam tiflos kein lubachal adoris. Tiflos is tiflos, is tiflos, is tiflos. It doesn't make a difference whether it's in 1900 years ago or in the year 2013. The gamma material is there, even though to say it's mutter mishum es asa shem eferu tora secha, ki lule zeh hayu abban asa sugas bigorom imenu, we won't teach them Torah, what will they be doing? They'll be doing other things that are not so positive. We come again, man mapis, mizuki bi medakti, we got mi ame beminin al zeh, which best it was matter the gzeres of Chazal? Which peasant came along to matter the Zeres of Chazal? Bidama Poshit, Shahareyasa, Shokil Malam Titlus, Titzmach, Ben Mukta Meirucha. I don't care how you slice it, says Abozna. Titlus is Titlus is Titlus, and it's going to emerge through the woodwork. It's going to come out one way or another. He's not completely wrong. I'll get to that in a few moments. Vidire Teru Zerasa, but Yishtanu Le'ilo. We can't be Mishanak Zeres of Chazal. Did you notice the slight contrast between Avraham Lichtenstein and Rav Osler? Shlita, Shlita, they should both be Baruch Yomim. So, what is the answer? The answer, to a certain extent, is it depends what community you grew up in. If you grew up in Bnei Brak, and you, shall we say, are reared in a certain kind of environment, so then clearly you're not going to necessarily, or probably at all, follow the position staked out of Avraham Lichtenstein. And you'll take more the position which is closer to Rav Osler. And that's generally the position that is taken in the Haredi world. And the truth is, Baruch Hashem, they've been zochet to raise daughters who are Yireim, Ushleimen, and Medaktek, Kalaka Bachamura in Halacha, dressed both in Sanua, in a modest kind of way, and people who are literally inculcated with Abbas HaTorah and Abbas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an amazing thing. And they've been able to be mamshich from generation to generation. On the other hand, if you grow up in a different community without specifying now what community I'm talking about, I think you fully understand what I'm talking about or whom I'm talking about. There's no question, this kind of approach is not going to work. Kanocha na al pi darko is a klal gadol in halacha, very significant klal, one that often will not be carried properly. You have to educate a child al pi darko. And so if you're growing up in a different type of family, and it could be that here young women are becoming career professionals and are getting doctorates in theoretical physics and what have you, and exposed to a wide range of all types of studies, there's no question they require far more exposure to Torah in a deeper and more profound kind of way in order to be able to counter that which they're seeing in the secular world. So I, to a large extent, I believe that that's a correct statement in reference to this whole matter. Okay, all this is simply by way of trying to introduce you to the topic. It's not even going to scratch the surface of the topic. And I'm sure there are perhaps one or two questions that are further issues that you would like to discuss regarding this matter. As I said, I will make one or two more statements. And this now already, I'm probably going to get myself into trouble, but what else is new? I've been involved with women's education for over 40 years. I teach women Torah. I have not taught women Gemara. I'm not comfortable with it. So I'll tell you any master. But I've been in institutions where I run institutions where that has taken place, and obviously it took place with under my auspices, under my aegis, and I consulted the Gedolei Torah in terms of direction, what should be taught and how it should be taught, and things of that sort. There's no question that we live in a door where women, Baruch Hashem, we have very, very sophisticated women out there, highly intelligent, highly educated, highly capable of learning, and learning actually sometimes in great depth. And it's interesting that if you ever speak to a chanchin, I have two cousins who went to Maimonides. My mother, Alas Shalom, my mother had a cousin, and Arab Shimshalevitz, Arab Simon, he was a Rebbe in Maimonides, Amira, an Alta Mira. He lived in Mir Yeshiva in Europe. He was a Goy Nadir. They learned Bechavusa Rav Soloveitchik. They learned Bechavusa together in the 40s. They learned Kutchin together, right? For about 15 years. And so he has two daughters. And one daughter lives in California, one daughter lives in Detroit. They're married to, both their husbands are, shall we say, highly sophisticated, highly educated doctorates and what have you. So they, Rabbi Simon, had no sons. He learned Gemara with his daughters. I guess he had no one to learn with. So he learned Gemara with his daughters. I've encountered that in my life a number of times. I lived in Providence, Rhode Island. There was a sheikh that tells him. He learned and tells. And he also had daughters, Til Bach Hashem. He was the Ben Skunim. He was like to a son that was born later on in his life. His oldest daughter, Lamdan Buflo. I don't know how else to describe her. She was a Baki Bishas. I'm not joking. You find that funny. I've also encountered in my days. In Toronto, I had this experience with a number of women who learned Daf Yomi on an ongoing basis, every day. They were actually, and then offered to, anyway, so these two cousins of mine told me that in Maimonides, the women there, you know, Maimonides is a co-ed institution, the women there far, far outpaced any male in that institution. It's not a chiddush to me, knowing males as I know them at that age. So it's not a davar chiddush to me or a chiddush to me bechlal. But it's fascinating that women, as I said, many of them have incredible capacity. However, having said all that, my firm belief is that if one is going to learn, ultimately, the end of limud has to be Yirat Shamayim, has to be Yemor Medakik B'mitzvos, has to be Yemor Tzanuah. Otherwise, you simply are learning as a disembodied intellect. And learning as a disembodied intellect leaves a lot to be desired. And the course of many, many years of being involved with this whole issue, I'm not convinced that necessarily because a woman is studying Masechtas and Shas, that necessarily leads to greater Yirat Shamayim. If anything, I've seen the other, shall we say, the other direction, which is very troubling to me. How could that be possible? How is it possible that one who studies the Torah Kedosha, and one studies it in depth, and one studies it Be'iyun Gadol, and one is exposed to people who obviously themselves, I assume, Talmidei Chacham, who are teaching it, how is it that it doesn't lead to greater Yirat Shamayim, to more dikdik b'mitzvos, to a greater sense of dressing properly, because tznius is certainly an area of halacha, which is discussed in halacha. I'm not saying that necessarily all the parameters of tznius are that which there's universal agreement about, clearly there's, as you know, different positions on many, many issues, but often one sees young women who are involved in the study of Torah Shabbat Pen in a very serious way, yet does not seem to impact this area of their lives, which is really the most intimate area of a woman's life in one respect, and perhaps the most significant area of a woman's life as well, which she has to be cognizant of. And in a world which is very, very porous, living in a world which is literally molded with Godish Pritzus, and I don't know how it can get any worse, although Baruch Hashem every year, Ein Beis Medrash L'Lo Chiddush, somehow they come out with more Chiddushim and more Chiddushim, La'Avdil, in this area. And one would think that this should have somehow addressed the issue in some form or fashion, and to a large extent that I've not done so, which is the source to me of a lot of discontent. By the way, those women that I'm talking about, I mentioned my two cousins, I also mentioned this young woman who was the daughter of a sheikhet in Providence, Rhode Island, they had Tzanua Sheikhamah. They obviously absorbed from their fathers who taught them, even though it says, Lo Yilamit Adam Zvita Torah, it's against the Rambam, against the Mechaber. But Rob Nashim, they are the Miyot, the Prisha. They're part of the Miyot of the Prisha. Shein Motziz Devetor Devayabah. Okay, that's one comment I wanted to make. And the second comment is that obviously every parent and every mechanech and every mechanechet has to know with whom they're dealing, and they have to know exactly how to be mechanech for the children. As I said a moment ago, chanuch on apidarko, and that's not a simple matter. We're living in a world where there's no question that it's a world which is very, very challenging, especially issues relating to women. I don't have to tell you about that. Living in Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of issues, not just here, but in Chutz Eretz as well, that relate to women. Not just women's education, but the role of women and the like. And we have to, in general, whenever there are such issues that are relatively new and the like, we look to Gedolei Yisrael. That's what we do. That's a masorah that we have. We look to Gedolei Yisrael for guidance, for direction. And it's very, very significant that we receive such guidance from Gedolei Yisrael. Not everyone can go ahead and make shabbos for themselves, or make shabbos for themselves, as the expression goes, and decide what to do and decide how to go about doing things. And this is something that's very significant. Someone who learns Torah for many, many years knows that the son of Torah is Aseh L'Charav. You have to make yourself a Rebbe. Everyone needs a Rebbe. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, I decided I need a Rebbe desperately. And I didn't know what to do or whom to go to. And I searched around and I spoke to this one and to that one. And I decided, once I met her, I've never socially, I decided that I made him my Rebbe. He doesn't agree. but I'm a Shanae. I didn't my Rebbe any day. And I went to Shmuzin for about 9 years. I went every Monday night. Before that, before I came to Eretz Yisrael, I lived in New York City. I was a very young man. I needed a Rebbe. And my Rebbe became Rav Nissim Alper Zatzal, who was Rosh Yeshiva in YU for many, many years. I was very, very close to him. I was zeichet to be miskari to him in a way which I'm not worthy of. I didn't move without him. I didn't do anything without consulting him, without speaking to him. And for years, I also did something else. I went to the Shmuzim of Avraham HaKohen Palm Zatzal in Williamsburg, Darba Das, on Fridays to give Shmuzim. Unbelievable, in Yiddish. And I was very, very mushma from these individuals. I'm not talking about our salvation. Zechayim Lebracha. I was lucky to have a lot of outstanding rabbeim, and it left a major imprint on my life, no question about it. Without them, I wouldn't have Yadayim Raglai. As it is, I barely have Yadayim Raglai. But without them, I wouldn't have a chance in the world. Okay, I more or less at least began by discussing this topic, and now the floor is open. Go ahead.
Regarding Rosh Hashiva's first point concerning the disembodied intellect, can't this apply to men as well?
Of course it can. No question about it. We have the same issue in this respect as our female counterparts. There are men who unfortunately also learn Torah from that perspective. And that is not ideal. That's far from being ideal. Now, it's true that there is clearly a distinction between men and women, many distinctions as I alluded to earlier, but in this respect, you are right. One should clearly learn Torah for the purpose of increasing one's Yirat Shamayim, of being more medaktiv in mitzvahs. Vasuki Shmaitz Aliv Delvasa. We learn in order to come to Alach HaMaisa, in order to know what to do. One of the things that's Sfardim here in this yeshiva, we have a lot of beautiful Sfardim in this yeshiva. And they always speak about Sfardik Halacha. Sfardik Halacha. So I sometimes make jokes with them about the Sfardik Halacha. But I really love them. And the only reason why I make jokes, I want to understand that Sfardik Halacha comes from somewhere. It doesn't just come from reading Yalkut Yosef. There's nothing wrong with reading Yalkut Yosef. Rabban Yosef is a great god, a giant, way beyond anything that I can possibly even imagine. He's a colossus, no doubt about it. But had he come to Sfardik Halacha, he learned Kol HaTorah Kula. Kol HaMasechtot Shabashas, he learned. Every Masechet in Shas he learned, and he knows that by heart as well, with the Rishonim and with the Achronim. There's nothing the man doesn't know. So that's why I'm saying to you, don't be stapek with Sfardik Halacha. Very nice. All right, you quote me Yalkut Yosef, but you don't know what you're talking about with all these men. And unless you know the Sukkot as well, unless you've learned, shall we say, the Shaka Batalya of the Rishonim, the Gemara Shintesis, and the Rishonim, you don't know what you're talking about. You quote me Yalkut Yosef from here to tomorrow. And it has absolutely no value to whatsoever. Okay, but get back to the issue of this is about the intellects.
We should keep going bashing Sephardis if you want.
That's the disembodied intellect that you're talking. Anyway, the... really, the idea of Limud HaTorah is to lead to Yirat Shamayim. He's a wonderful young man, Josh. So don't get the wrong impression. I zoche to have a chavrusa with him the whole year, and Baruch Hashem, it's been a pleasure. I'm saying that it should lead to Yirat Shamayim for us as well. If it doesn't, something is wrong. Something is missing.
Should we try and imply that it affects women more than men, or that it's just a symptom?
According to what I mentioned to you, according to Rav Bosner, his contention is that because of women's nature, he's talking about their psyche, their emotional nature, so they have a different, even that affects their intellectual approach to Limud HaTorah, and that's why he is not in favor of teaching women Torah Shebaal Peh. But I agree with you in terms of, I think there's no distinction between men and women in this particular point.
In that regard, wouldn't... the disembodied intellect, affliction, wouldn't that apply more to men? Because women are more emotional and men are more able to retain, to be intellectual and not become biased, so women might be...
You know, one of the questions that Rabbi Zinkin mentioned to me last night, I was taken aback by it, so it was relevant to this issue. I don't know who asked this question, but this is a very fascinating question. Women are potter from mitzvah seish as man groma. Men are chayim mitzvah seish as man groma. Does that mean that the nature of a woman's schar, let's say olam haba, is less than that of a male counterpart? That was questioned. Rabbi Zinkin, I think such a question was asked. Maybe you could just formulate the question.
Do men have more potential for olam haba because they are mechuyav in more mitzvahs?
Astounding question. So there's a premise that the question, I assume, is positioned on, namely the question hinges on the premise that Olam Haba, getting into Olam Haba, is a function of kamuyot mitzvahs that I do. And if I don't have access to that kamuyot mitzvahs, I will not get the same Olam Haba. I question that premise. It says in my Mishnah Sanhedrin, Kol Yisrael Yesham Chavet Olam Haba. Women are also part of Klal Yisrael, as far as I know. Certainly a very significant part of Klal Yisrael. And beyond that, the Gemara says in Brachos, and Daf Yizayin, and there's also a Gemara in Seita, and Daf Tapal, slightly different. The Gemara points out, Dela Havtocha Sheiticha L'Noshim Yeser Me'an Noshim. However you interpret that Gemara, but that Gemara seems to sound like women are apparently in a higher place, or in a better place, even though they're going out of business in Eretz Yisrael. But women are in a better place than their male counterparts. That's what it sounds like to me. And no question that women, the Gemara says over there, what time do they receive? That's a very important Gemara. That they wait for their husbands to come back from Limud HaTorah. They wait for their children to come back from Limud HaTorah. They go to yeshivas and what have you. So the Gemara seems to indicate, perhaps women are even a higher madrega than their male counterparts, despite the fact that they are part of mitzvah seishas not grumba and exempt and not chayav to carry out those mitzvahs. It's very hard for us to know these levels. These are already, we're headed for more esoterica, and therefore it's clear that women and men have different roles, and each role is clearly significant. As I mentioned earlier, alluded to earlier, the primary preeminent role of women, no matter how much of a professional she may be, and whatever levels of education she achieves, and whatever other professional aptitude and the like, her primary preeminent role is to raise children, to mechanich them, and that is no small matter. That is so significant. We're living in a world today where, unfortunately, men and women, sometimes both of them, have to work in order to be able to make ends meet, and that often has a massive impact and influence on raising children, and not always a positive kind of impact. And the children have to be raised by their parents. That's very significant. We have to spend enormous amounts of time on the mechanech our children in order to make sure that they'll be b'derech hayosher. Gadol Yisrael was speaking about all the tears that they shed to the mechanech children. And women, trust me, they are shedding a lot of those tears. Probably most of them are being shed by women more than their male counterparts. Okay, that's...
Well, should I read the ones that we gave in first?
Okay, fine. I didn't realize what time it is. It's about 3:30 now.
is it mutter to go to a co-ed water park with a camp that I'm working for as a counselor? What if I'll be fired if I don't go?
Well. I lived in Providence, Rhode Island in the late 1970s. I was a Rebbe. And one time I was actually a Rebbe. I taught Torah. I tried to teach Torah. And in my first year there, the day school and the high school, they called it the New England Academy of Torah, which is no longer existing. It was actually a dorm situation, a dorm setup. It was a dorm for boys, a dorm for girls. They were approximately, by car, 5 minutes from each other. And walking-wise, they were about 20 minutes from each other. But the Gemara says, enough troubles like Arayas. That's where I encountered people, young men and women, learning Ramban together in bushes. But they were learning Ramban. Rabbi Fuchs. So, they had a dinner. The first year I was there, it was 1977. They had a dinner, and then I found out that the dinner was in one of the hotels there. And the dinner, I found out there was going to be entertainment, as there usually is at dinners, and they're going to have a woman, an opera star from the Metropolitan, what was it called? Metropolitan, I don't know, some well-known opera in New York City, the main opera in New York City, and she was going to be singing there at this affair. So I heard about it. I was literally shocked that they would do something like that. But it was primarily the Baal Batim were not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, were not observant. They were conservative. They were, some of them were even Reform, and they were actually supporting a day school. which is amazing. Although the Beis Kol was really supported by one person. It was a Tzadik Yesodot. One person was a Baal Tshuva, unbelievable. I'm talking about support at the level of millions of dollars. But at the same time, they had this... So the question was, I said, I can't go there. I can't go to a dinner where there's going to be Kol Misha. The Gemara said, Kol Misha Erba. Gemara Brachas, Gemara Chavdali. Well, the Halachot Shulchan Aruch, Siman Ayin Hey, very clear machaber, which I was familiar with even in 1977. Anyway, so the I said, I can't go. So I told the dean, I'm not going. And he told me, if you don't go, you're fired. I thought that was a little bit rash on his part, a little bit, not only rash, I thought it was not right. Because I want to observe the Halachot Shulchan Aruch, I should be fired from teaching in a high school, or a day school, whatever it may be. So he said, yes, that you have to do as I say, otherwise you'll be fired. So I consulted the other rabbeim. They were worried about their jobs. So they said they'll go and they'll put, either they won't listen or they'll, I don't know, do other things in order to avoid the issue. And it so happened that at the end they told me they actually went. I didn't go. And the woman was not exactly dressed in a proper kind of fashion. It was a dinner at the end of June. On the warm side, even in Providence, Rhode Island, and she came. Kimatke gavrati loy. So whatever the case is, it was really not a good thing, not a good situation to be in. But he insisted. He told me you're going to be fired. Told me not once, not twice, three or four times. So I became concerned. Maybe because I'm going to be fired, I have a heter. I have a heter. What's the heter? Heter is my job, my panasa. I have to do what? To violate the deal of Kolbi Sherva. So I finally argued with him back and forth, and we finally came to an agreement. We'll call a neutral party and ask him for his opinion, whatever he says, so he will abide by the sock of this neutral party. So he didn't know I had a bit of a yachas with this person, but it didn't make a difference. He's an objective party. I said, we called Abban Solovich. We called Abban Solovich in Chicago to ask him a shiloh. This is a conversation that took place probably 45 minutes on the telephone. I don't think the conversation is so complicated, so difficult. But he explained to Abban Soloveitchik, the dean, that if Rabbi David doesn't come to the dinner, it'll be noticed by all the lay people, and they will take it as a personal offense, and they'll be it'll be an affront to them. And this is a dinner, which is they're inviting him gratis, a massive dinner at the Hyatt Hotel, which hotel it was, and there's no reason why you shouldn't go. And even though there is such a law in the code of Jewish law regarding listening to the singing voice of a woman who doesn't speak about Gavra Tiloi, but that was the additional bonus over here. And so the still he feels very strongly that he has to come. So after back and forth between Abban Soloveitchik and this dean, at the end of Abban Soloveitchik paskin that I'm not mechuyev to go. He says that whatever he said, I don't want to get into the details. And so I didn't go. This dean was very, very angry at me. He was angry at me the rest of my tenure in Providence, Rhode Island, because I sort of, I didn't really show him up. I just didn't show up. But whatever the case is, I had a sock and I felt it didn't show up. Okay, now back to the issue of him. A co-ed, what's the exact?
Water park.
Co-ed water park. I'm not so familiar with water parks. I do know that in Chavetz Chaim here in Eretz Yisrael, there's a water park. Right? Maybe I'm not... Yeah, water parks, if I'm not mistaken.
A water park is like a beach.
Water park is like a beach.
Worse than a beach.
I'll be honest. I was ready to be fired. I was ready to be fired over this issue, and I believe the same sock applies over here. And I'm not a kanoi. I think that tzniyus and the like is so fundamental to our hashkafa and to what the Torah actually wants us to portray, that if there will be a breach of tzniyus, again, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Again, I'm not a fan either of co-ed camps. I'm not a fan of co-ed situations in general. Many of the Talmidim and Yeshiva went to co-ed schools, and I'm not here to condemn co-ed schools or any of that sort. It's not ideal. It's far from ideal. I think the reasons are fairly obvious. It's like a passage in Chumash that we say every day. Chazal darshin it, and the Rambam quotes it. So my personal opinion is that if something is a breach of modesty, but a serious breach of modesty, I'm not talking about, someone told me before, in the United States, and even Eretz Yisrael, there are kiddushim, you know, kiddushim where they, after the davening on Shabbos, where they serve herring and kichel, they actually need a good egg kichel in this country. But anyway, when they serve herring and kugel, shalmi kugels, with the pickle, without the pickle, could be smaki. But anyway, so and there are kiddushim that are mixed. What does mixed kiddushim mean? Men and women are actually milling about. So there are those shuls that are very mocked not to have such mixed kiddushim, because it can be uncomfortable, because it's not necessarily so tsanua for men and women to mingle about together and the like. But if there's we're talking about a breach of sneas, not talking about mixed kiddushim. A breach of sneas where people are not dressed properly, and one is in violation of some serious psukim, and perhaps even things that go beyond that. The Mar says in Yuma, Hiruri Aver, Tashim Aver Atzma. Even having Hiruvim, okay, we're not tzaddikim, we're not Malchi HaShavis, we're living in a world that's very, very exposed, terribly exposed. We also, unfortunately, expose ourselves to all kinds of things by the devices that we have and what have you, and that's what the Gedolei Yisrael are speaking about all the time now. And, okay, I happen to be, and I'm Aris, the highest of the Abadim, I don't know how to use anything. So that's my protection. That's my Hatzolah. I'm not so sure it's the best thing that I don't know how to use
iPhone,
yeah. I'm missing a lot by not having an iPhone. And no, I'm talking about to be able to put together a, what do you call
text.
A text, a source sheet of Makaris from the Bar Ilan, things like that.
I don't know either. We're good.
I knew I had something with you. Achim Anachter, we're brothers.
I'm honored.
He's a good man, Baruch Hashem. I got to know him, Shtickle. He's actually Baruch Hashem, but no, his bark is worse than his bite. The kids are. The kids are. So I think the Fiyadi is dying, it's a serious problem. And should one be fine of it? The answer is yes. I think on the Yonit Sneers, one has to be Meser Nefesh. Not Meser Nefesh, where one goes ahead and throws rocks at people and feces at people and Rahman would slap these or that sort. Those people should be arrested. And those who throw the rocks and the feces, arrest them. Marino saw the board below Mali. That's what you should do. So we obviously should not behave in a fashion which is inappropriate. But I think that one has to be Meser Nefesh. Yes, next.
Tchelis. Is the Tchelis die used today the right one? What is my opinion regarding the use of Tchelis today?
I'm not entitled to answer any of those questions. First of all, is the Tchelis die the real one? How would heaven's name in my life? I heard Rabbi Soloveitchik speak about the issue. That's what happened. After that, I came with Tchelis. He said we lost the Masera. There's a long article about this that should be read. In the Sefer Shigurim Zech Avi Meiri, you should read it not once, not twice, but 100 times. And the Rav Hill, Tzvei Dinim Masera, everything is Tzvei Dinim. And you'll take a look, we lost the Masera. There are those who obviously don't agree with it, who have essentially taken the position that the Rav didn't mean exactly what he said, and there's a revision. I don't accept that personally, because I didn't hear that from the Rav. But beyond that, I know that the Gedolei Yisrael are not in favor of that. Wearing tchelis, it's true that I daven in the shul where I know the rabbi of the shul well, and many people in the shul wear tchelis because they were exposed to a number of Gedolei Yisrael that wear tchelis, and so they wear tchelis. Okay, that's their prerogative. I'm not arguing with them. Nevinsol told me, Nevinsol Shlita told me a number of times, I discussed it with him a number of years ago already. Nevinsol told me, okay, Rav David, ani mukhan she. He wants to test him first. That says, Almar, I will tell him. I'll call Ashas. In the end, you'll deem it call Ashas. I said, Ma Kesha, Ma Yin Shmita, the Tassina, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? He says, why did they Dafka pick on Chelas? That's what he says. It starts up with me. I said, why? I said, because it's a beautiful mitzvah, it's colorful, it's Chelas, it's a Mishnah, at Chelas. Okay, the Mishnah says this. Any market is not loving. It's not market to love the Mishnah. Who beholds those people are very into The answer is, Rav Nevesel told me, Lama im chipsu et zeh? Yivlal shanashim rotim exotika. That's what he told me. What does exotika mean? They want things that are exotic. There's a rabbi in my neighborhood who told me that why does he go up to Har HaBayis? Because David, atah yechol v'stapek b'limud ha-Torah. You can tell you sure, here and there. Ani lo yechol v'stapek b'zeh. Az ani chipasti mashu yoter exoti. Mashu yichudi. Aliyah Har HaBayis. Aber kamuban, ani melamed את כל ההלכות, הקשורות לזה, תלוי במקווה, they dress properly, וכולו וכולו, so he has to look for something exotic. So what's exotic? Go up to the Har HaBayis. And I am not in favor of going up to the Har HaBayis. Why? Because I heard from the Rav, Zechem Lebracha, he spoke against it. My Rebbe was speaking against it. Who am I? Ani HaKot V'Adal. I'm going to go against Rabbi Soloveitchik. So I said regarding Tchelis, Rabbi Nemesu also is not in favor of Tchelis. He told me, if you don't Yisrael, come out in favor of Tchelis, so then we can go ahead. And Rabbi Eliashiv also, again, I'm not saying that wearing tchelis is wrong. I didn't say that. Oh, my rabbeim, without a favor of it, and I can't go against my rabbeim. In general, I'm very meshubah to my rabbeim, and especially in all times of what I call inyanim chadashim, minhagim chadashim. Minhagim chadashim, the achronim say, have to be miyusad al piva sikim, based on gedolei Yisrael. And I follow their guidance, and I'm very meshubah to them, and it's hard for me to do things which is out of the to be sote. Okay, you might argue that I'm not perfect. You can find things in my life where I have perhaps deviated from the norm. I'm sure you'll now go looking and probably you'll find me guilty as charged. But in general, that's the position that I take on these matters. What else is there? I know they're having a good time.
Yeah.
I'm not, but they are.
March Madness.
What is that?
college basketball. Can one enter a pool, give $15 in, and then at the end, so, you know, the winner gets 80%, second 10%, 5%. Is that probably gambling?
But you spoke to me about that. I thought about it. I don't see where the gambling is over here. I don't see the Masada Kukubya. I didn't have a chance to be mined into it, Alocha. But I don't see why it's comparable to Iran, why it's comparable to the Sakha Bekubdil. Why?
Somebody should explain this case.
Oh, okay, I don't really understand it, obviously. You know, by the way, I should mention, you know, even the last time I've been for Shlita, in terms of, you know, here they have like every dollar amas, they have Lotto, and the dollar pies, every dollar amas. Do they have that in the United States also? Oh, they have this there also. Not to the same extent as here. So you know, there's a big machloket among the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, and this topic of Avadia. Oh, I want to tell you, I lived in Toronto. I lived in the city of Toronto. There was a going living in Toronto when I was there. Gedalia Feld is that's all. And I was there actually to be Mishamishim. I tried to be Mishamishim. I was not always so successful, but I like to stalk Gedalia Israel. Anyway, so the Gedalia Feld. As long as he was alive in Toronto, there was not one shul or Beis Medrash or yeshiva in the city of Toronto that was able to even use bingo as a means of raising money for the yeshiva. He was lahashmi laragul abed against it. I never saw anything like it. Such a stance. It was Isaac. It was like Aryan. And you wouldn't, no one would buck him. He was the, I think I told this story that I once picked up Avraham Soloveitchik, that's out from the airport, to bring him to his son-in-law and his daughter, the brother of Chaim Arukin, the son-in-law of four markers of Chendu Rocha. And so at the airport, it was very difficult. He was already after a stroke and very complicated. And Mamish, I saw what they described, I didn't know it was real, but you know, achas, I'm not sure, the Marina, it was unbelievable. And finally, I got him in the car, and then he said to me, he has to mekayim the Mishnah. What Mishnah? The Acharetz Kavnu L'Torah. And I was talking about what Mishnah does he want me to mekayim. I'm having it. I'm trying my best to show the Acharetz for the, well, the Dolei Ador. He said, no, we have to first visit the Rav HaIr. I didn't know there was a Rav HaIr in Toronto many years. There was, I didn't know there was any chief rabbi of the city. So I said, I asked the Rashiva, who's the Rav HaIr? He says, what, do you live in the city? You don't know who the chief rabbi of the city is? I said, no. He said, Rabbi Dalia Felder, he's the rabbi here, he's the Echad Midalei Ador. I knew it was Echad Midalei Ador. I didn't know he was the chief rabbi of the city. Yeah, but he was Lash Midar against being, okay, so explain to me the whole halach. What exactly is this? So the Sfaradim, oh, that's what I wanted to say. Not just the Sfaradim, Ashkenazim also, not all of them are happy with this. But today, I don't know, New York City, bingo night. once a week. I see it in many of the shuls, and it's going on for years of it. Not just bingo, they do other things. I don't want to get into it. Yeah. Las Vegas night, all kinds of things like that. Yeah. Okay, that's it's not for me. There are a lot of the shuls, they obviously deal with these issues. Go ahead.
They give money before
and
after the games are played.
And but are they wagering? Are they betting?
You put down $15, however much money you put down to the pool, and then you pick who's going to win a whole series of games, and whoever picks the most games correctly gets, you know, the money that's...
It's in a pool of money, so like everyone puts their money in.
Right, in the pool.
Right, I understand. It's not like that easy. Yeah,
but we have to be mind into it. I'm not at all a mumche in these types of things. I never really... I think they say from Abdul Salant that he once bought a lottery ticket because he has to make a shtadlus to have a panosa. I'm not into lottery tickets, I'm not into any of these things. So I have to look into it, I really don't know. Maybe I'll ask you, I'm done with Linda. But I won't be able to explain it to him. he won't know what I'm talking about. Okay, next.
Open it up.
Okay, maybe just another 5-10 minutes or so, because it's really, I'm not sure if we have a right, Al Cheshbon of Talmud Torah, to continue this, even though it's very enjoyable. And sometimes Bitulo Zubi Kiyumo, sometimes I'm not sure what the garb of that are. Okay, go ahead. Anybody else? Yeah.
Does the flag of
Eretz
Israel have
Kedusha?
Does the flag of I heard the answer of
Rav Soloveitchik,
and I heard of
Rav
Kook.
Yeah. So Rav Kook's answer I'm not familiar with, but Rav Soloveitchik's answer that you're familiar with, Rav Schacht actually quotes in the Sefer. I never heard him say it myself, but Rav's position was that a flag which Chayalei Tzahal, when Muslim Nefesh, not for the flag, but for the state of Israel, we're talking about, obviously, that flag takes on a certain kind of status. And let's say if it's Rachman with son drenched in the blood of the Chayal, who was Meisim Nefesh, to protect Klal Yisrael and the life. So we know the halachas that apply to clothing, stained garments of a Chayal, buried with the person. That's how the Rav spoke about it. I don't think the Rav said that the flag of Israel has Kedusha. Mm-hmm. And maybe Rav Kook said such a, is that what he said?
No, I think you're wrong. I think I read something more of it, but he said that 10th. Speech. I just read in one of the books downstairs.
Yeah.
And it seems that general, he's against giving symbols, but
no question about it.
In terms of flight, he seemed to say because of, you know, it's
okay. But I think what he said was in terms of how I presented it just now.
Yeah.
But I, again, my position is the following. I don't think it has kedusha, but I do think that the flag of any country has to be treated with deference, has to be treated with basic respect. There are those here who. I know from my neighborhood, I can speak about it, because my Balabatim, sometimes during the Yom HaSmut period, they put flags in their cars, and if they drive through other neighborhoods, the flags are ripped off, and all kinds of things that are done that to me are, no question, Din Mazik, people are chayav, and also it's a lack of Da'acheretz, it's just a lack of basic, Bein Odom HaChavero, basic Da'acheretz, basic courtesy, fundamental decency. You don't behave like that, and in general, once you have Da'acheretz for a flag, if you don't, even if you don't subscribe to the state of Israel and you feel that it's a state which is, from your perspective, is not legitimate, but you're living here. You're living here, you're being nana from the country, you're being nana from many different aspects of the country, whether you like it or not. There are those who claim there's no din makus din. I'm not getting into that whole issue, which is around the Dharma Khazanation, a whole list of other things that relate to this problem. But my Rabbein held there is din makus din here. We're obligated to pay taxes. We don't assume the state is a state of pirates or a state of people who are discriminating against one particular segment. There are those who don't agree with that, claim they are discriminating against one particular segment of the life. But that's not the position, from what I understand, of Rosh Hashanah Israel. So the flag, I'm not saying it has kedusha. I think what Shmuel said is correct. However, I think one has to have deracharis. Why should one have deracharis for a flag, or for that matter, in general? One has to cultivate and nurture a sense of deracharis for even what so-called symbols and the like. There was an event that occurred in my neighborhood a number of years ago where it's a number of things have happened. You know, it's a country of extremes. I don't know if you've noticed that. So anyway, so they went ahead and someone in one of the schools took a, there was a Tanakh apparently that had, I don't know exactly how they put such a Tanakh together, and the New Testament and the Old Testament in one krach. This is very strange why someone would do that. You know, they say Benjamin Disraeli, that he said, he asked him, where are you Jewishly? So he said, you know, there's the New Testament, the Old Testament, there's the blank page in between, I'm the blank page in between. That's how he described himself. And he was unfortunately in Amaros HaHaisa, whatever the case is, but the, so they went ahead, they took this Bible, they cut out the New Testament, and they burnt it in a classroom in one of the schools in Beit Shemesh. And unfortunately, this became a kind of orgy, a kind of frenzy burning that took place. And they asked my opinion about it, and I was very opposed to this kind of behavior. And unfortunately, it got out to the papers, to the press, and you can imagine what they do with this. But in general, this kind of behavior, even assuming that al pi halacha, one could justify this kind of behavior, and I'm not saying that, I'm not saying no, but at the same time, one has to know how to behave, both in the public sphere and the private sphere. One of the things that Torah teaches us, hopefully, if you learn enough Torah and you are really rooted in Torah, then you not only develop a proper hashkafa, you also develop a proper way of knowing how to behave. Rav Soloveitchik many times spoke about why should we go to many people in yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, learn Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos. That's a beautiful thing. Magal of Apume, who are your Amen? So the Rav described Tzvei Dinim, of course, everything is Tzvei Dinim. Tzvei Dinim and Masera. There's a Masera of Shmiya, Divrei Torah and Kedushin that I hear from my Rebbe. There's a Masera of Riya. You watch your Rebbe, you see how your Rebbe behaves. You scrutinize his behavior. Why did Yeshua ben Nun become the leader of Klal Yisrael? Because the pasuk says Yeshua ben Nun nar lo yamish mitzvah ha'el. The Rambam says in Hakdama, the Mishnah Torah, Yeshua ben Nun shu talmid shavu shu rabbeinu masa Torah shu balpev tzivah ola. He is mishamish b'shu rabbeinu the Gemara in Brachas. Deilu shimush shu Torah yesim neimuda. I think someone mentioned Rabbi Ephraim, maybe someone mentioned the Tesis Ksubis that Tesis refers to the Tzepta. Again, one has to have mishamish a Rebbe. You have to be Meshamish Rebbe, you have to be Meshamish Rebbe for years. And even that's not sufficient. You have to have a Selech HaRavni Meshamish Rebbe in order to know how to behave. And that's what Pirkei Avos teaches us, how to behave. Scrutinizing Rebbe's behavior and knowing what to do. And that's what the Rav said, Rav Soloveitchik said that the reason why he became the leader of the Chassidim after the Baal Shem Tov, who replaced the Baal Shem Tov, the Rav called him the Lima Bear. The Magid of Mezrich. Mezrich and Magid. Why would he become the Mamali Makam of the Baal Shem Tov and not the greatest going of the generation, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef in Polanya? Because he was Meshamish's Rebbe, and he was not. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. So he was Meshamish's Rebbe for many, many years, or Rabbein, in order to know how to behave. And I think this behavior is unconscionable. Absolutely unconscionable. Yeah?
Can I ask another question?
What should I do? Okay, let's go ahead. Maybe just give other people a chance, yes.
If a person has a few hours a day to learn, how should they divide it up?
I think it depends on the individual, but clearly one has to... If a person has a few hours a day to learn, how should they divide it up? As I said, it really is a function of each individual, both of your... The Gemara says that, Ein adam leimei elokim shaliba chafetz. And in general, there are things that I like to learn, some things I don't like to learn as much. But it's clear that a person has an obligation, certainly to learn for a young man, to learn Torah Shebaal Peh, to learn, before we get to Sfaradi Halakha, to learn Gemara. So to take one Gemara, whatever it may be, even if you learn Gemara and Rashi, that's a big accomplishment, no small accomplishment. If you learn Masechet Megillah, Gemara v'Rashi, or Masechet Megillah, you are a wealthy, wealthy man, beyond belief. Halavai, I should know Gemara and Rashi, Masechet Megillah. Halavai. That's one. Number two, I agree. You should learn Sfaradik Halakha. You must learn Halakha. You have to know what to do. I'm asking, how could a person observe Shabbos? Rabbi Levinson told me in one of his moments on Purim. He told me about 7 years ago. Harad David, and he would say, Latzi Halakha, Shabbat Shiva, Tzachem, Rab Tilmudu Dara Echad. Shabbat to Rab Ma, Hilchot Shabbat. Rak Hilchot Shabbat. I said, Kol Hayom Chal Alayla, Kem, Yabo Gad Erev. Rak Hilchot Shabbat, Shehidu Malasom, Shalom Yichadu Ta Shabbat. That's what he tells me, Rabbi Levinson. So then the next day I asked him, הרב זוכר מה שהוא אמר לי אתמול? בטח שאני זוכר. אתה חושב שאני הייתי שיכור? You think I was drunk? You think I was drunk. Anyway. My brother of this, he always tells me, get past the Shaila. That's why I discuss with him all kinds of funny things. Anyway, so, but he actually held that.
You have to know for Shabbos. How do you know? You learn Sephardic Halacha. But that's what Ashkenazic Halacha you have to. And you can get it from the Alkut Yosef too. So that's the second thing I would say. The third thing, a person has to learn things that give him a Hashkafa. How do you get a Hashkafa? By learning Musa Svarim, by learning Machshava Svarim, by learning Chassidut. You go to Rabbi Weinberg Shlita, you learn Chassidut, or whoever is qualified. I'm not qualified. I'm an Amoris, the Chais of the Abonim. That's just in this area, other areas too. But I'm saying that you do areas that are, will help develop your Machshava, your Hashkafa, to have a proper Avodas Hashem. That's also very significant. And then I would say to always, to, of course, I'm assuming you have many hours a day. Avraham Lichtenstein told me when I asked him when he was in Harvard, how many hours a day did he learn? Oh, between 12 and 15. So I said, in heaven's name, what, did he attend any classes? Did he, of course I attended classes. What are you talking about? Well, I said, so when exactly did you do all this 12 to 15 hours? In Gavrila Gavra. Anyway, so the, okay, I'm not sure you have 12 to 15 hours.
No.
But if you have 2 hours, 3 hours, I think you should also take a saver that you enjoy learning and do that as well. And the other thing you should do is, Lefiyan is died, you have to learn Chumash, after the parsha every week. Ideally, Shnayim Bikur Baratago, but even if it's not ideal, try to learn the parsha to know what's going on in the Inyanim. Those are the things you should, well, let's be focused on. Yeah?
Before you were saying that you really shouldn't be learning Torah if it's just for the intellectual.
Listen, we talk Shalom Lishma above Lishma.
Right, so that's
no one can learn, no one is in Madrega. Even we learn, people are older also sometimes learn Shalom Lishma. What's a Shalom Lishma? There are a number of Shalom Lishmas. I want to say a great shiur. I want people to enjoy the shiur, I'm saying. So I have to prepare for it. That's a bit of a Shalom Lishma. Or I want people, Gemara says, they should call me Rebbe, they should give me the kavod, maybe money along the way. This is a Shalom Lishma. That's not a Shema.
Right,
so everyone learns Shalom Lishma, each one their own madrega. Ideally, once you come to the point where one loves Torah, where it's literally, Mayim Rabin lo yuchlu v'chabay sesa'ava, unaharas lo yishtafua. That's how I should learn Torah. I should learn Torah the way Moshe Feinstein learned Torah, as Rebbetzin testified of it, like a shikar. He was a shikar for Torah. Wow, what a madrega. I have no idea that madrega. I'll buy a shikar there. But we learned Shalom Lishma. Okay, this is about intellect. It has an impact. I told the story. This is a true story. And it was told to me, I mentioned this already maybe a week or two ago, about the gentleman who sat next to me in the Shira Maria. I told this story. There was a shul in Manhattan. A gentleman sat next to me. I went there for 13 years. The Rav Salvezhi Shul Rebbe Maria Yiddish. Once a week. It was almost like the highlight of my week. I wouldn't miss a shir for anything. For anything. And he said in Yiddish. He said in Masechta. I heard good parts of kindness. Most of Sukkah. Every Pesach. Every Purim. Every Chanukah. And many, many Yom Tovim was just really Ganei Natachto. It was like the Harry Kenneth, writ large. Anyway, so that's already a small format. But it was writ large. And the Rav, the Shurim were charismatic beyond belief and mind-boggling, dramatic, anything. And there was a guy sits next to me. I came there. A guy looked like Bozo the Clown. I said, like, what in heaven's name is he doing there? A guy with massive hair coming out of the corners. And he had a little kippah, maybe about this size. You see where? No Gemara. Didn't come with the Gemara class. And he sat there all the years. Finally, after I was leaving, I moved to Providence, Rhode Island. So I told him I'm leaving the city. So he tells me, I want to take you with a cup of coffee. He takes me to a cup of coffee in a restaurant on the west side, with the Rav said, Shia and Maria. And there, he proceeds to tell me his life story. I didn't have a clue. Life story was, he was a Holocaust survivor. He lost his whole family in the Holocaust. They were killed in the Shoah. He escaped. All kinds of decent, unbelievable miracles. He came to New York City, he decided I'm discarding religion, he became an atheist. What value? Where was God during the Holocaust? Look what happened to my family. And so he just cast off the whole thing. He was a fellow who learned in Chador. You know, Chador, like, as a kleina kind, as a small child, his Yiddish was absolutely exquisite. He was a maskil, classic maskil. And he remember, he used to tell me when I had to talk to him time to time. He would go to me, and this time at the restaurant, he said, I want to show you what I remember from the time I learned as a little kid in Cheder. He proceeded then to recite, Kimat, I think, Rov HaPerak of El Metzias Barat. It was the entire Perak Barat. He hadn't seen it in probably, I don't know, 55 years. Yirsut Nam Kusel Lem Mishnach, the Gemara says, a few times in Shas. But you learn when you're young, like these years are very critical. Okay, make a long story short. He tells me this whole story. I was shocked. I didn't believe what he went through. And then he tells me, one day he heard that there's a guy who gives a shiur, a lecture, and he speaks a beautiful Yiddish. And this guy was a Yiddishist. He loved Yiddish. Loved the Yiddish language. On the west side of Manhattan. So I'll go to that. So he goes to the shiur. And someone told me it was a nightingale who gave the shiur. Soloveitchik's nightingale. Anyway, and I'll get into that some other time. Anyway, so he goes to the shiur, and it's a rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, giving a shiur, a gemara shiur. So first he said, well, I don't want any of this stuff. I don't need this stuff. He hears the Yiddish. He is absolutely captivated, riveted. The rav's Yiddish was, Leila. You know why I understood the rav's Yiddish? It's why I speak Hebrew. I speak Hebrew relatively well. That's what my Balabatim told me. Because Hebrew today consists of 50% milim loaziot, 50% transliterated words from English, 30% slang, and 20% divrei. That's why I know Hebrew. Anyway, so Yiddish, the Rav's Yiddish was also of a similar nature. 50% milim loaziot, and the Rav's Yiddish was literary beyond belief. I knew enough of Yiddish to appreciate. I could never speak, not speak like that. He was captivated. This guy knew Yiddish well. He was riveted, captivated, so he started going, and he went for years, just because of the Yiddish. He told me, Yichol Bikubin, to have him the clang, Rabbi Shabbat's Yiddish. To hear the clang of his Yiddish. Clang is an English word. Clang means the tone, the cadence, the decibels. That's what he came for. No other reason. Gemara? No. It's not for me, this kind of stuff. In the course of time, what happened? The Rav began to draw him into Yiddishkeit. Because the Rav not only said a shiur on the Gemara, he said on Chumash for 10-15 minutes after, and this guy, he saw he was being sucked in, sucked back in, little by little by little. One day he decided, I want to speak to Rabbi Shabbat. I'm going to talk to him. He approached Rabbi Shabbat, tells him his whole story. He told me the Rav started crying. The Rav started crying out of control when the Rav heard his whole life story. Immediately the Rav invited him to have supper. The Rav used to go eat supper with his mother, Zechel Lebracha, after the shiur. She lived in Manhattan, west side of Manhattan. He invited him to eat supper, and he said he was invited many, many times. And that began a romance with Rav Soloveitchik that brought him back to Yiddishkeit. So you want to call that disembodied intellect? It was the Yiddish that brought it back. And when I met him, for the 13 years that I sat there this year, he was a shaved total of mitzvahs, and he began to daven every day. He came back. So this about intellect. Yeah, he taught Shalom Lishma, Bar Lishma. There's no question that people learn Shalom Lishma. But not Malachi HaShoris. The Rambam writes in Nagdoma, if you place the Rambam writes this, how do you teach a young child? You start with candies. You throw candies at the child. Then he gets a bit older. What do? Shall we say, you have to raise the ante. And then after, when he's about 11 or 12 years old, you have to buy him a Lexus. I mean, after things move up. So become Shalom Lishma, Bar Lishma. That's what we learn Torah. That's how we're spelled. Okay, just one or two more, and then that's it. I have to call it a day. I can't believe what's happening here. Yeah.
So just quickly, it just reminded me of when you were talking about the flag. So on Yom Yerushalayim here, it's like a big, like, it's part of, like, it's like customary, like, walk through our villages with the flags, walk through Shar Shalem. Some people destructive, others not. Would you think this is participating in something like this is usher?
Destructive behavior is always usher, no matter what happens, especially when you walk through the Arab Shuk and you walk into the Kotel or something along those lines. Rachman al-Litzam, we should behave that way. That is neged kol ha-Torah kula. There is no heter for it whatsoever, absolutely none. And if anything, Rahman al-Litzan, you're inciting and you're creating Rahman al-Litzan, all kinds of what they have now, the so-called Tag Mechir. I don't know if you are familiar with that phenomena. Okay, I don't want to get into it right now.
What about singing and dancing and jumping in their face?
I don't think you should jump in anybody's face. I think you should respect people's sensibilities. You should be sensitive to their sensibilities. On the other hand, I understand if one is dancing, as long as you don't interfere with the chanayot, with all their wares and their... And you do it, it's done once a year. They also know probably Yom Yerushalayim, and we're I think one has to be careful. One has to try to be sensitive, but we have the right to dance. We're the Balabatim in this country, and we have the right to, shall we say, to dance and sing and be happy that Hashem has brought the Zakas from this state. The Chesed from the Chazdei Hashem, tremendous Chesed Hashem has brought gave us. I think you have to find somewhere a way to navigate the shoals in a fashion which would be appropriate halachically and also up in the heads. Yeah.
A good friend of mine had a debate for a couple months now about the nature of Jews versus non-Jews, whether one is created inherently better than another. So perhaps to elaborate on the topic and maybe to discuss the interaction between Jews and non-Jews.
I think I told you that I, in the 60s, I used to go here, Shmuzin, Rabban Soloveitchik's Zatzal, when I was in high school. And Rabban spoke about this topic. He said that, I think I mentioned to him, Matthew, that the relationship that one should have with a non-Jew is different than the relationship that one should have with a Jew. We showed him already like this. We showed him point out that many of the deen in the Torah actually is very, very precise. It speaks about, it uses terms like your brother or Amisecha. Those are terms specifically that refer to Chazal have many, many drushes. The term of mitzvahs, and clearly the Rambam writes in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, "Va'ach lo yirachim alach, mi yirachim alav." He's talking about tzedakah, and obviously that doesn't apply to non-Jews. That's very clear. The Rambam actually, if you read the Rambams all over the place, you do have a certain picture that the Rambam actually really, as an artist, paints you in terms of a lot of unfortunate interaction that existed throughout history, and the Chazal speak about it also. The Sinah Sheyarda Mehar Sinai, the Gemara Shabbos, and elsewhere, Chazal speak about, unfortunately, a certain animosity that exists. We don't fully understand why. We call it anti-Semitism. We don't really understand the nature where it's coming from, but it comes from Har Sinai, no question about it. The fact that we are the Am Echad, we are the Am that is, in effect, responsible for carrying the banner of Hashem Echad, Lishmor Echad, no simple task, a rather challenging one in a challenging world. So Rabban used to distinguish between what he called, his language was, fellowship and fraternity. That's his distinction. Again, it's very deep. One is permissible and one is not. Now exactly what the Dharma, I spoke about it already a little while ago. In terms of the question that you're asking, there's no question that there are positions that you find in Halacha and in Hashgafa where the Mepharshim distinguish between the Neshama of a Jew and the Neshama of a non-Jew. No question about it. Especially, I imagine you could speak to Rabbi Weinberg Shlita, Pia Chassidus. No doubt there's a distinction, fundamental distinction. But even in Halacha, you see it. Nechsam Seyman talks about it about Rikus. In a number of Chubas and a number of places in Shkidushim based on Gemaras. And it's also, you'll find this notion in the Baal HaTanya and also a number of other places where there are distinctions, and there is a distinction between the Jew and the non-Jew, no question about it. And ultimately, even though it's hard for us to accept this because we are very liberal and we tend to be, shall we say, pluralistic and the like, Rav Soloveitchik himself distinguished, I mentioned this already a number of times in the Shurim HaMegillah, the chilul between the Gemara Megillah between Tashmish HaMitzvah and Tashmish HaKdusha. A Jew says the law is Tashmish HaKdusha. A Jew is likened to a Sefer Torah. There was a very famous drasha, I also was present at, and where the Rav compared a Jew to a Sefer Torah and brought riots from Gemara's all over Shas and Midrashim and Chazal, and therefore a Jew has a little Tashmish HaKdusha. We're obligated to 630 mitzvahs. Masha'ikin, a non-Jew, Meikra did, is Tashmish HaMitzvah. It's not the Chayim Shem Mitzvah Neinach. And the Gemara says, Tashmish HaMitzvah is Rokim, Tashmish HaKdusha Dignozim. What does that mean? It means there's no chiyuv to bury a goy. There's no chiyuv to bury a goy, except that Ramban writes in Eretz Yisrael that the Torah speaks about the famous parsha, "Chiyel ish chet nishba mavus tohumas, salisa al soaleitz, lasol nivas alaitz, ki kavet yigrenu bayom ahu, ki kilas elokim toli." Rashi is a famous mashal. "Lo isetami satmos kasher Hashem elokecha, lo isilchon lachamas." Ramban says that because we're worried about being mitami Eretz Yisrael, so that's why Yeshua ben Nun, when they killed 31 kings and they hung them up, the same day they already took them down and buried them because of the mitzvah kura in Eretz Yisrael. But outside of that, there's no mitzvah kura because the Halacha said Tashmish mitzvah is rocket. So there are distinctions between a Jew and a non-Jew, and that is even the Shema of a Jew and a non-Jew. But having said all that, that does not mean that Chas v'Shalom we should treat a non-Jew in a fashion, as I discussed earlier, which is disrespectful. The Gemara has many, many dinim that relate to Eva, Darkei Shalom, Mishnayis, all over Shas. that deal with Dr. Shalom and Eva, the Mishnah Berurah talks about it, and we have to understand that we're living in a world which is essentially, largely, predominantly non-Jewish. And we have to understand how to, shall we say, and many, many great Gedolei Yisrael who were Mekadoshim Shamayim by their interaction with non-Jews, and there are many stories about how subsequently that really, Baruch Hashem, redounded to our credit. Shlach lach lach l'chal amayim, gam rov ayam yimtza'enu. If we have the larger picture in front of us and we know how to behave properly, it can lead to many, many salvations for Klal Yisrael. I can tell you stories, I'm not going to do it right now, about interaction between Jew and non-Jew and how you can be Mekadoshim Shamayim by your interaction with a non-Jew. But there are clear distinctions between the Jew and non-Jew, no question. I'll be Halacha, I'll be Hashkafa, no doubt about it. Yes, okay, the last one. I think we should stop at 5 o'clock. Not forever.
What's the Rosh
Hashiva's
position on Korean Joint Army,
and if it is the position that they should, if they're,
you know,
if they are learning, is it right
for like other people to, you know, enforce, like, force
them to go? I cannot answer this question, I'll beg Alakas. It's really a loaded question. Army, joining the army, forcing people to join the army, mitzvah to be in the army. You're putting me in a position where I'll beg alachas in about 2 minutes. I want to answer the question, which is unfair. It's a complicated question. There's no doubt in my mind that there's a concept of din machlus sedina. That's what I heard from my rabbis. And again, as I said, there are those who question this, the yisum of this principle. You really have to study the sugyas of Baba Kama and the Dorit, and especially a tshuva de Zav Rav, where he actually lays out, he delineates the particular areas of Din Machus Adina. But certainly, this is under the heading of Din Machus Adina. And there's no question that Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says in Saita, that in a Mechavis Mitzvah situation, everyone has to participate in this endeavor to save Klal Yisrael, to protect Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is that Tzal held that we are still considered to be, since the founding of the state, it's one long Mechavis Mitzvah. Rabbi has several different definitions of Mechavis Mitzvah, but one of them is Miyatzor Shevaleh. If we are besieged by enemies, unfortunately, tragically, we're besieged by enemies. And that is something which is continues to be a reality, an unfortunate reality, a sad reality. We all would love to make peace, but you know, after being here, it's not 20 years in Eretz Yisrael, I've concluded that we will, halavai we should be zoned to make peace before, halavai tomorrow and the next day, but it doesn't look to me it's going to happen until the Biaskel setting. Maybe I'm being pessimistic, you might argue, or maybe others are just being realistic. But whatever the case is, so there's no question that there is a concept of a chayal in the army, and there's no question that a chayal is someone who is doing a great mitzvah, protecting Klal Yisrael, and makom nistapek. That to me is milsa d'pshita. However, having said that, there is also another, shall we say, modus operandi of protecting Klal Yisrael, that is Gemara's all over Shas, Sukkot all over Tanakh. And anyone who's not aware of that, is simply just not aware of Sukkot Tanakh is Gemara is all over Shas. Namely, Torah Magno Maslo. Gemara and Saita is Mechala between a mitzvah and Limud Torah. A mitzvah only has the ability to protect you while you're doing the mitzvah. Kiner mitzvah. But the Torah or Gemara says the Torah is like a light, a massive light that has the ability to provide illumination even when one is not learning. Torah Magno Maslo. Torah is a massive protection. And the Gemara says about Vasa, the first paragraph, and what the halachic relevancies are needs to be examined carefully. Tamina Chachamim, Lotzvichim Nitzirusa, and perhaps don't even have to contribute to different obligations that exist in the city because they themselves are the Turikarta. I don't mean the Turikarta in a certain sense, but the Turikarta, they're the ones who protect the city with the Limud HaTorah. We have an Asoras, a Kabbalah, and Limud HaTorah, there is nothing comparable to it. Even our Torah ultimately is that which protects all yourself. It's every other pasuk in Chumash. What am I supposed to say? In the Chukosai Te Lechu, yes, it's low citation of Asis Mosam, when Asadi Gishmeka Beitam, when Asahar Tzibula, Eitha Sadi Kempirio, Shaviz al Pashan. The Sigma Chaim Daish is Botsi Asigar Zora. The Chav Lachman al Asoba, the Shaf Lavada, the Asakem. When Asad, the Shalom Bar, it's a Shat, the name of Chavid, a positive condition. If we observe the mitzvah of the Torah, and obviously that includes Limud of Torah at the highest of levels, and the way I described earlier, the Gemara said earlier, the Cheskiyah HaMelech, that they weren't Ish V'Isha Shalom Dikiyah, not the Silva Vatara, as our Rav Lasky should have said when it was relevant. And there's no question that Limud of Torah is Kiyem Chayyeh Rochim Eino. So now we often have a conflict. That is what's happening right now, if you may have noticed. And it's not an easy conflict to resolve, not at all. And I'm not here to resolve this conflict. I'm too small for this, way too small. And these people are not to tell me many, but I, again, think that it's important that we be aware that we need both. Hasayif v'hasefer yordu kuchim and hashamayim, Chazal say. We need the sayif and we need the sefer, we need both. There's no way we can protect ourselves without the army. I told over this story, and my brother Shlita will attest to it. I used to go to the Shmuzim Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz in 71, 72. I traveled in many good places. The summit of the yeshiva here, he asked me, how could you be in so many different places at the same time? You went to so many different things. I did. I didn't waste my time. And I didn't spend my time, I didn't go to Ben Yehuda. I don't even know what Ben Yehuda is. I know what it is. I have a lawyer there I had to go to, so that's my connection to Ben Yehuda. Other than that, I didn't go to restaurants, I'll be honest. I thought I had Moscow. I went to a bakery once a month, Briesel's bakery, and then once I went to get a slice of pizza at Uri's Pizza. And that was the extent of my what do they call it? Of my goings about. So I heard Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, and Erev Yom Kippur he sent a shmooze, and he said he came to the Kotel HaMaravi, he saw a chayal chiloni, and he hugged him. And this chayal was taken aback. He himself said, Rav Chaim sent this over. The chayal was taken aback. Who is this fellow in the long garb, black garb, hugging me? And Rav Chaim told him that if not for you, Yeshivat Mir, lo yicholah lachzik ma'amad po b'mdina. The Mir Yeshiva cannot survive. So we recognize we're very makitov to be, and we have to be makitov. My shul, we have all kinds of bitzayim b'chayalim all the time. And in terms of exactly, so the answer to your question, is there a mitzvah? There's no question there's a mitzvah. There's also a very significant mitzvah of Logisul Yom Balayla, of learning Torah. Now the question is how to resolve the two. So if someone is sitting and learning the, till this point in time, here before, the country has given them a tour, and again, things have changed now. The Chotel was, as you know, was repealed, was abolished. And now the question is, what's going to happen? There are many, many forces operating here. It's a very complicated issue. I'm not saying, as I'm too small to even begin to deal with it. I just want to acknowledge and recognize the fact that there are two very significant modus operandi, and both of them are very important. No question about it. Without Chayalim, without, shall we say, on the other hand, the Gemara says in Makkos, that the Gemara speaks about Shari Yushalayim that protected us from, and there's no doubt about it, the Schus of Torah is mind-boggling. Anyone who has a good Hasaga of what Torah is all about and has really studied the history of Kal Yisrael carefully knows the Schus of Torah is absolutely mind-boggling. There's nothing comparable to it. I'm not resolving the issue. And maybe you might even think I'm skirting the issue. The answer is yes. And so because it's a very complicated issue, but I'm just trying to present to you the two studies of this man. Okay, anyway, I think we can stop.
Oh, listen to what she said.